Welcome to Mimiki TV. Get ready to break through barriers, fuel your faith, pursue your purpose, and market your message so you can impact the marketplace for God. Feeling stuck? Discover how to get unstuck and break free from limiting beliefs that are holding you back from God's plan for your life. Come join me for a free training called Mindset Matters on Sunday, April 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Here's exactly what we're going to cover: how to recognize the limiting beliefs holding you back, how to align your thinking with God's plan for your life, and how to take action towards breaking free and finding your freedom. Make sure to go to mimikakuni.com/webinar and register today. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to share this interview I had recently on another podcast talking about how to partner with God with your business. And this is something that's always been on my mind and I've had to deal with personally in my life. And I'm sure you will find it enjoyable too. So listen in and enjoy.
I've been an entrepreneur since I was 21. So for me, being an entrepreneur, in actual fact, I should have to say, I was born and raised in South Africa, hence the funny accent. And my father was a serial entrepreneur. So even at the age of four, I was like, he had a company that was named after me. So I thought I was the boss. So obviously I was going to become an entrepreneur, right? There was no question about that. But fast forward a few years, I have had four different businesses over three continents. My husband and I immigrated twice, once from South Africa to England, and then England to the USA. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm in North Carolina. And every time we've immigrated, it's been because of our pursuit of our entrepreneurial freedom. So I'm super, super excited to share the good, the bad, and the ugly with everybody who wants to know about the story of entrepreneurship and why that is such an exciting adventure. How do I fit, you know, Christ and God into my life? I'm so busy with my life and my business. It actually needs to be flipped the other way, because I can tell you why. Over the years that I've learned this, you know, I'm totally one of those, you know, A-type go-getters. If I have some, put my mind to it, I'm going to make sure I do it and I do it right, even if it means I fall over from exhaustion, because I can tend to be a little bit of a workaholic, and I'll admit I'm a recovering perfectionist, but that's okay, because I say instead of perfection, we go for excellence. But at the same time, as we almost feel like we have these high standards of ourselves, and of course, being believers, we feel like we are held to a higher standard because we have our faith and we are representatives of Christ. But I think a lot of us have been taught this misconception that, you know, we do life and then, God, I'll see you on Sunday. It's cool. I go to church, I tick off the box. Oh, by the way, God, I need more money. Can you just help bless my business? And what I learned this through the hard way is that God wants to actually be first. And what he means is, you wake up in the morning, instead of like, God, I have this and this and this on my to-do list, we got to get this done. It's literally just saying, okay, God, what's on your heart? Because, you know, contrary to what we've learned in business school or marketing school, or, you know, in college, whatever we've been told since we were kids to follow a system and to follow the rules. And that E equals MC squared, that there always is, things are going to be logic, right? But in God's economy, things are not always logical. You think about it, it's like you don't have a lot of money, but he's impressing you to go and sow into a church or into ministry. And it's almost like, this doesn't make sense. Why would I give my money away when I need money myself? But there are spiritual principles at work here. So to go back to the actual question, how do you balance it all? Is that then, if you look at what a scale is never 100% balanced. It's always tipping on either side. The way you juggle is that is life. The juggle is the journey, right? I think we have this conception that if it's not perfectly level all the time, we're doing something wrong. Because sometimes you need to give a little bit more time to family. Sometimes you need to give more time to the business. And I've seen it over the years, like even in the businesses, I've had four different types of businesses, from being a web designer, and then I was a photographer for 15 years, and I've been a business consultant, and then I do coaching and speaking. And throughout that all, you know, sometimes there was even a time I had to shut my business down where my family needed me. And that really rocked my faith and my understanding of how God actually wants to do life with me. And at one stage, I was like so mad with God because, you know, I had my business failed and the economy went bad. And then the worst part, I had my mother-in-law passed away from cancer. And 6 weeks later, I found out my son was imploding and he was suicidal and he was severely depressed. So when you are thrown these kind of things in life, you're like, well, what do I do, right? What you can do, and I think a lot of us, our last resort is God, where it actually should be first. And what God showed me through all that is that I had my priorities all mixed up. I would be, got to get going, you know, always relying on my strength, pushing, even though he would gently show me, you know, this isn't a good idea. This is you overextending yourself. Maybe you need to chillax a bit. There's something going on here. And I was in denial. No, everything's fine. We're going to sort it out. Until the wheels came off, until I literally was struck with grief, anxiety, fear, and just my body gave up for like 3 months. I couldn't get out of bed. I was literally so exhausted. And normally I'm the type of person who like, will just keep going, right? And it's literally like, talk about being forced to go into a wilderness season. It's when God had me on my back and said, listen, you know, this isn't working and you are clearly hurting yourself. If so, if I have to physically intervene to stop you from hurting yourself, I will. I would not advise you go that far, but please do hear me out. What I'm saying is that, you know, I had all these great ideas. I had the business plan. I had all the things and the goals that I wanted to do, but sometimes life is hard and sometimes, you know, our older parents need help or our younger kids need attention or we have to spend time, you know, investing in relationships, and that's fine. And God honors that. So I think first of all, what we need to do is just take the pressure off ourselves and say, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it balanced. And if we start to flip the script and think it's not about juggling, it's about prioritizing for the season. Because that's another big lesson I've learned over the last sort of 25 years is some things are for seasons. If we look at seasons in general, God is God of nature. If you just look at how we have winter, you know, we have then the spring and the fall and the summer. We couldn't live in summer all the time. We would eat all the crops and we would soon starve, right? But sometimes even in the wilderness season when it seems dark and you don't see any growth, that's when the greatest, the internal growth happens. If you just look at how a seed is, you don't see it when you plant it. What's going on in germination, just like with the cocoon, a caterpillar goes into the chrysalis. And even this was fascinating when I looked this up, is that its whole structure changes when it's in the dark. But what we've done as a Western society is we have fought against the seasons, and we almost like, okay, God, get me out of here. You know, where is the quick exit? I don't want to be in here. This is hard. I've lost my job, or I don't have, you know, bills are being paid, or the kids are sick. And we start to kind of see that as a punishment, like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I need to get out of here. And, you know, in the Middle East, they look at things a little differently. Like, even if you think about the story of the prodigal son, all of us in the Western society know it as the son's story, right? But in actual fact, in the Middle East, the way they see it, they call it the running father, the story of the running father, which means this wasn't about the son at all. This story was about how God will come after us when we need the help, even though we might be doing things that aren't good for us. He knows sometimes we have to learn the hard way. So he will give us the seed to eat until we are hungry. And then once he's got you, then goes, okay, are you ready now to hear me out? But at any time when we turn to him, we think we're the one running to him, but he is the one who's running to us. So just by changing the way and saying, you know, God is always there and he always wants to be involved in my life. He wants to be involved in my business. He wants to be my partner. So now it's like, okay, God, I'll say, before I'd be like, okay, God, this is my list. I've got this and this and this. So please bless me. Amen. And I'll carry on and wonder why isn't this working? Then he's like, you never asked me about that. And I didn't say you should start that just because you saw Susie Q on Facebook making money and you thought that was a great idea and you thought you would jump on the bandwagon. That's not what I have planned for you. I have something else. But I'm so busy focused on what everybody else is doing that I forget to wait at the feet of Jesus and say, okay, God, what's on your heart? Like, what is for now? What is for later? Like, right now, my situation might change. Okay, it's just a matter of learning to be at peace with the season and embracing the seasons and say, God can't move us into a summer season until we've germinated the seed, until we've got strength, until we've been, you know, we've got the nutrients and we've grown slowly and we've got the maturity to handle what he's giving us, because there's no such thing as an overnight success in business and in life and in nature. It's just, it doesn't work like that. So I think if as believers and as Christian entrepreneurs, you know, we are creatives. We want to create things with our ideas, whether it's, you know, a product or a service. And I believe God installs that in us and gives us that desire and that vision. But we can't visioneer without him, because he is the ultimate creator. So what I do now as a matter of habit, even when I have to say to myself, okay, no more FOMO, the fear of missing out, thinking everybody else is doing something and I should do it too. Oh, everyone's doing a podcast. I better do a podcast. Oh, everyone's doing Facebook ads. Oh, I better do Facebook ads. And for a lot of my clients, that, you know, coaching clients, they always ask me, you know, what should I do? What should I do? What I should do? I'm like, you're asking the wrong questions. Like, why are you doing this in the first place? Going back to, why am I doing this? And what is the result I want? Because sometimes another social media strategy isn't going to be the answer. Sometimes we need to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, God, what is it that you actually want me to do? And is this actually of you? Is this a good idea or is this a God idea? Because when God's on there in an idea, it's amazing how the doors and the windows fly open, the opportunities come their way. You don't have to push, you don't have to hustle, you don't have to grind. But when we do it in our own strength and we're trying to make things happen, God is under no obligation to finish what he didn't tell us to start. So I think it's so important for us to really go to the drawing board and say, God, okay, what is it that your plan is? And sometimes he decides, okay, that season's over. I need you to switch into something else. And for me, I have to, you know, I'm a bit stubborn. Sometimes it takes me, a few things where it's like, and I'm like, I'm busy. Okay, just, 5 minutes. I'm still busy here. And eventually he's like, okay, I'll just wait when you're done. And then I come and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. Why? And he goes, oh, you're done now. You're ready to hear me out. I've learned not to go that far. To rather say, okay, great idea. I think it's great. Like, this is a great idea for a business or a product. I'm like, okay, God, what do you think about it? And he says, that's not what we're talking about today. What I want to know is, are you learning? Is your character growing? Like, let's start to teach you a lesson in giving. How am I going to be able to bless you with more seed if you can't be faithful for what I've given you? So we have to remember that we have to be faithful in the season we're in, and every season has its value, because every season, you know, if you look at a tree trunk, you know, every year it gets bigger and bigger, and you know, when they cut down the trees, they can see all the little rings. And, you know, the more the years go by, the stronger and more useful that tree becomes, because it's been able to stand the test of time. It's gone through the storms. It's gone through the different, seasons of life. So we as ourselves are those trees, and we have to allow ourselves to be grounded, and that to make sure, you know, it talks about us being the branches and God being the vine. Like, as soon as we go off off on a tangent and we think it's an idea that we've heard off the internet, and so all of a sudden I'm going to start implementing somebody else's plan for their business, but it's not necessarily what God wants for our business, it's different. Like, if we were just talking to general entrepreneurs who are like more interested in marketing funnels and tactics and, you know, tell me what to do, we would be having a different conversation. But we are Christian entrepreneurs. We have God as our partner. We have God as who knows the future. And I think it's so cool. It's almost like insider trading, right? He knows what's going to happen. Like, don't do business with that person because they're a little shady and that's not a good investment. So I think primarily before we worry about tactics and strategies, we have to go to the ultimate strategist and say to God, okay, this is an idea I have. Is this right for me? Is it right for me right now? And sometimes, especially when he sees a prophetic gifting in you, he sometimes will tell you things way in advance because he wants you to aspire to something. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be birthed now. Like when a woman gets pregnant, it takes a full 9 months for the baby to be ready to be born. And I think a lot of us sometimes try to jump the gun and say, well, I have a great idea. I need to birth it right now. And then what happens is that's why a lot of businesses fail, because they haven't had the foundation to establish where they're going and what they want to do. Like, it's okay to like get an idea from someone, but if it's not for you and it's not for now, you're going to waste a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of effort. So that's why I say, you know, business with God is counterintuitive. It's when you get your head around that and you realize, I don't have to do what everybody else does. Sometimes God will say, you be quiet and you be still, I'm going to do it. And you go, okay, and you wait for the phone calls and wait for the emails. And I mean, believe me, I'm a marketing strategist. I've been working with companies and businesses for 7 years, helping them come up with strategies and marketing and branding strategies. So believe me, when it comes to planning, I'm the one who's like, okay, let's do a plan. This has been the hardest thing for me, is letting go and letting God go, no, just relax, just rest. I'm like, okay, so when we're resting, should we start thinking about, you know, maybe like what we should do? And he's like, no, no thinking, no planning. I'm like, I know you said that, but what if we just did like a little bit? And he's like, R-E-S-T means no. And sometimes if we really are stubborn and we don't listen, then he can force rest on us, which, yeah, obviously is of our own doing, where he sits back and goes, okay, when you worn yourself out, I'm here, I'm waiting for you, but this is on you. So really, we have the choice, right? And but the good thing is we have that insider way of knowing that, being connected to God, putting him first. So even little things like you'll say, you know, mom will say, the school is saying, oh, we need a mom to volunteer to make cupcakes for the Friday bake sale. And mom's like, oh, I know, I should do that. And if God's like, no, don't do it, you're like, at first I'd argue and say, but I don't want to disappoint them. He said, no, you don't have enough time in this week. By the time you get to Friday, there's something else I want you to work on. So say no. So I've just learned to say no now and just go, wait, I'm going to talk to my business partner. and then make the decision. So, you know, hear from him and then decide. We don't really know. Like, even like an example, like in January, I really wanted to do this big project and a launch of a new program. And I was like, I just really didn't have peace about it. And I just felt like, you know, I don't know what it is. Something feels wrong. And normally, you know, maybe 2 years ago it would have worked. But for some reason, it just didn't feel like it was what I was meant to do. And I'm like, okay, God, we've done this before and this has worked. Like, why isn't it working right now? He says, trust me, something is coming that's going to require your energy more than this. And I was like, oh, maybe just do it. But I managed to listen. 6 weeks later, Corona hit, and I had to deal with, you know, getting my daughter out of Spain. She was studying overseas, and she was, so we had to get her out and get her back. And then we had my, you know, I had like, my kids are 21, 19, and 10. So I had, you know, she's from a college one, and then my son was graduating high school and trying to finish his school. And then I had the 10-year-old that's trying to homeschool, and he's like, I told you, you wouldn't have time for this. Like, even though it sounds like a fabulous idea. So for me, I felt like I've been, the less I work, the more productive I am. And that's God's economy, right? That's the loaves and fishes principle, which I'm like, oh, I should have learned this so much long ago. I would have saved myself so much hassle. Because he knows, right? He knows these things that we just have to trust him. And for me, I don't really like to do business plans anymore, because I'm kind of like, I can't think 5 years ahead. Like, who would even know? All of us, let's just rewind to January 2020. All the grand ideas you had for this year and how quickly the situation changed. We were all forced into a wilderness season. The world was flipped into what us entrepreneurs go through about having to reassess and redesign and, you know, pick up the pieces and, okay, where do we go from here? If this doesn't work, How do we pivot? Like, I tell you, people know me, I'm the queen of the pivot. This ain't working, we're going to do something else. But I'm always like, okay. Where now it's like, okay, God, I thought this was the reason you said no was because of a business thing, but it had nothing to do with my business. It had to do with my family. And I had realized that time invested in my family. So for like 3-4 months, like, I hardly did anything. I mean, I even stopped recording my podcast. Like, I've had one, I've been podcasting since 2013, you know, every week religiously. I mean, I've had different seasons and had breaks in between, but for the first time, I almost feel like the most disorganized, because I'm like, okay, God, you're going to bring me the guest. You said I must just relax and not push this. So I do an episode here and there. And for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing it like I did before. And he's like, relax. As and when the person needs to be on, that's when you need to do it. But right now, I need you to focus here. So I think it's all about being more intuitive and trusting God. Some people find it easier than others, and they're like, cool, let's do this. Where, you know, some of us are like, you know, I had to hand in my card to Controls Freaks Anonymous because I was a little crazy being part of that club. And, you know, as I said, it's definitely not a perfection. It's something I have to work on every day. But it is really where we are. And I think this is what God really wants us, is what's for today. As you said, tomorrow will take care of itself. Yesterday is gone, but all we have is today. So if we can just say, God, who do I phone today? Who do I email? Like, what should I work on today? Do I need to do? And sometimes he says, I don't want you to work today. I just want you to go in the bed and rest and just listen to music. Sometimes your body needs healing. And even while you sleep, I'm a vivid dreamer. And oftentimes I'll like be fussing about something. And he says, just go take a nap. And then I'll go take a nap and I wake up. And I'm like, huh, okay. I heard, I don't remember what you said to me, God, but I kind of know, like, okay, cool. Things are fine now and I can just relax. So, instead of us pushing harder, we need to lean into God more and like sort of lean back. I mean, this whole lean in movement about, oh, let's, listen in. It's more about leaning back if we think of ourselves sitting on his lap and saying, oh, okay, God, I don't have to do anything. Yay, I can just sit here like on Santa Claus's lap. Like, let me just sit here and tell him all my woes and he's going to give me a hug and a candy. So, and it is, and it seems weird, but that's why it's different for us as entrepreneurs in the Christian space is we have to think a little differently because our reliance is not on our own efforts. It's not on our own bank balance. It's not on our knowledge and expertise, although God uses that. It's more about, are we willing to be a vessel and are we willing to surrender? Now, surrender is one of those really hard words that sometimes takes a lot longer than we want. Like, he wants complete surrender. Like, you can't be oscillating between ideas or, say, markets or who do I want to serve or what should I be doing? Should it be this? But so-and-so did a book and maybe I should do a book instead of this. And he's like, it's more about just really listening in and saying, okay, God, what is it you want me to do today? Like, sometimes he'll give you a plan. Sometimes he's quiet and it's the quiet moments where we have to trust that, okay, God, you've got me where you want me to be. What do you want me to learn? Like, let's learn this lesson now and fast so I can move on because the longer I resist and I think that I'm so smart that I can do it by myself, you're going to just keep me being stuck, being in hope deferred where things don't happen and and there is almost like a process of grief you have to go through when you have an idea and it doesn't work, whether it's a business failure or when you actually lose someone. I mean, I've been through all of that where even the loss when I had to close my business down, there was a grieving process of blaming myself and then, first of all, being in denial that there was a problem and then realizing there was a big problem and then, all that whole process. And I think if we just allow ourselves to just go through the process, there's something beautiful that happens in that germination phase that even though it feels so uncomfortable, we just have to be comfortable with the uncomforts. Because really what it is we are finally letting go and saying, realizing that God really is in control of this. We thought we had this all together, especially in American and Western society where we think we have an app for everything, that things happen and in the blink of an eye, the rug can be pulled out from us, but maybe that rug wasn't meant to be, we weren't meant to be standing in that space in the first place. Maybe this is shifting us into a new area, I've come up with new ways of doing businesses and even, switching markets and servicing things and seeing things in a different way. And even flipping the way I do approach things, thinking, I never thought about it that way. Okay, thanks for the tip. That's good to know. But if I was still so consumed about what was past, like, even coming out of COVID, or a lot of us, I hear so many people say, oh, I can't wait for it to go back to normal. Let me give you a newsflash. What you considered normal is never going to be the same again, because once there's a shift and once there's a change, it's like an elastic band. If you stretch an elastic band, it never regains its original shape. But that's growth, right? The more you stretch it, it's harder and it's more, resistant at the beginning, but as it gets more pliable, it then can get larger and larger and it can actually expand more. So just think of this as our expanding our knowledge, our experience, and our maturity, that we don't want to go back to the way things were because, first of all, that didn't work so great. If we think about how all of us living in, the rat race, like hashtag the rat race has been canceled. Yay, we should be having a party. And second of all, I'm actually so excited about the new opportunities. Now is the best time to be an entrepreneur because we have these needs. Look how in education – the education system that is currently structured here in the USA is based on a system that was built like 150 years ago. We just look at the school calendar. Do you know why we have 3 months of vacation for kids in the summer? because back in the day, they needed the kids on the farm to help with the harvest, which is why they only went to school after the after Labor Day, because you labored and then you celebrate on Labor Day like, yay, now we can go back to school. So why in the 21st century do we have kids who are out of school for 3 months till their brains go mush, and scientific evidence has proven that it's too long. It's much harder for them to start relearning. If you look at other countries like, you know, China and England and South Africa, where I grew up, the whole school system is different because of understanding that kids need to be in school with more regular breaks, not this long vacation where they've learned nothing and then we try to wind them up again for 3 months. There you have like semester type learning. So if some countries have been able to do it, we think about the shift we're in right now. And yes, a lot of parents have been forced to homeschool. But I can tell you, I've managed to pick up quite a few things in my child, like my 10-year-old. She was struggling with, I didn't even know that she was struggling with. And as an entrepreneur, I'm like, I wonder if I can make something that would make it easier for her. Or I wonder if we can find a tool. Or I wonder if I can make a service for that. Ding, ding, ding. There's your next business idea. So when things go, you think the world is falling apart, it's actually the best time to be entrepreneurial and to think outside the box and think of new ways of doing things. Because what was done before doesn't necessarily mean it has to be. So I'm excited to see all these new businesses that are going to be starting, you know, finding needs and filling them. So I think it's going to be fabulous. The end of the day, entrepreneurship is about finding a need and filling it, making a service, making a product. If somebody has a need, so really we need to be super sleuths about sniffing out those opportunities. So if you were in a situation where you had to get money, you would need to go for the jugular, which is where is that the need right now? And how can I step in and be of service? And just sometimes going direct, well, actually oftentimes going direct and finding those people. So instead of waiting for them to come to you that you would in the social media or, you know, in a long sales cycle, you need to go and look for them. So whether it's, you know, finding people, say, on LinkedIn, like say if you're a coach or a consultant and you have a service that, you know, could help somebody, going and doing some research and finding people who would fit that demographic is one way of saying, okay, I have these skills. I'm a web designer. How can I find some web skills? Go and look for people through your networks. The other option is to really speak to people you know. And even as a Christian entrepreneur, I would say, okay, God, who do I need to phone? Who do I need to speak to? And he'll give me like a vision of someone's face or a name and says, you just need to email this person. And sometimes it's like breadcrumbs. It's not necessarily straight, like this is how you're going to get your money. It's phone this person is going to mention you to this person, and this person knows somebody else who's actually looking to hire. So sometimes it is a little counterintuitive, but if we can make sure that we are not panicking and we're not freaking out and starting to sell everything in the house, we can say, okay, God, help me focus here. What do I need to do? And maybe it does require you thinning out the garage and, you know, doing a yard sale. Sometimes it can be simply something basic. But oftentimes, I think we overlook the importance of using our network and our relationships and saying, how can I find, you know, a neighbor or a friend or a realtor, or, you know, I find someone at the Zumba class and I overheard her speaking to someone about this and saying, you know, I can help you with that. Or someone is throwing a party and needs catering and like, oh, my friend is a caterer. So I really think at the end of the day, relationships is what really counts the most in business. As much as we want to stay behind our computer screens and all these fancy clicks and behind, you know, usernames, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. So no matter what you are doing today, whether you are still working at a job and thinking of running a business or already have started a business or finding your business is struggling, I would always say go back to, you know, who do I know that I could help? Like, you know, stop worrying about the bottom line and start helping people. And that's really the essence of what the gospel is about too, right? If we think about it, it's, you know, God was more concerned about helping people than, you know, what people thought about him. So if we can kind of say, where are our skills best fitted and let me see who has that need so I can match my skills with their need. And sometimes it means pushing yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone that maybe it's something you don't know, but you can see an opportunity for growth. And sometimes it means doing things for free. Like, and I know that seems counterintuitive, but here's an example. So if you're a coach and you want to get people into a program, you could say, I will coach you for free. And then if I do a really good job, could you introduce me to people, or can I then use you as a testimonial? And it's amazing that sometimes, or even saying, I'm going to go speak at the local chamber of commerce, and they, for 30 minutes, you can stand up during the lunch break and talk to them about whatever it is that you know. And guaranteed, someone sitting in that, even though we're not doing them in person now, a lot of them are virtual, but let's just say someone sitting in the audience hears your story and says, oh, you know, I actually know somebody who needs that right now. So you don't want to be in a, you know, slimy sales mode, but you do want to constantly be connecting and seeing, what is it that I have to offer? What can I do to help? And what are people looking for? Like right now, you know, it's almost the common knowledge. Everybody buys masks for their face. Like 9 months ago, if somebody had said to me, oh, I'm thinking of making face masks, like, you know, say January or even last year, say, this coming Christmas, I'm going to make face masks. A year ago, people would have laughed at them and like, why would you do that? You know, 1 year later, everybody is buying face masks, whether it's the disposable kind or the washable kind. So again, we don't know what those opportunities are until they present themselves. But if you've got a sewing machine and people want face masks, whether it's, you know, brings you joy or not, if you can make money making face masks, you're going to use your sewing machine. So oftentimes it's a matter of, again, what are those fishes and loaves that I have that God can multiply? And it's amazing when you do commit that and say, okay, God, this is all I have right now. What can we do with this? Trusting him in the process, he will really definitely help make your path straight. Feeling stuck? Discover how to get unstuck and break free from limiting beliefs that are holding you back from God's plan for your life. Come join me for a free training called Mindset Matters on Sunday, April 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Here's exactly what we're going to cover: how to recognize the limiting beliefs holding you back, how to align your thinking with God's plan for your life, and how to take action towards breaking free and finding your freedom. Make sure to go to mamikakuni.com/webinar and register today.